to the Emmy Louie Show. I am Emmy Louie, and I am your host. And today's guest we have is Sharon Sodal. Sharon, namely, is the marketing director for the International Feng Shui Guild, amongst many other things. And we're going to have a conversation with her today. So welcome, Sharon.
Hello. How are you, Emmy?
Good. So how are you? How are you doing? I know last time when we talked at the Conscious Design Expo, we really had a great time just talking at the bar for over an hour, and just time flew by so fast, and I thought you were such an interesting figure that I had to have you on the show and just talk and see what's going on with what you're up to.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, I've been working for the International Feng Shui Guild as the editor of their newsletter, The Grapevine, and it's a great, 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 it's part of the marketing department, but I'm not actually the marketing director, but it's part of the marketing department's outreach program to try to reach people like you are on your show, Emmy, who are feng shui enthusiasts of all different levels of background. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful way to reach people, and we have a question and answer section where people can ask whatever they're interested in, and we get quite a few interesting questions.
Yeah, well, you know, with marketing, there's lots of different venues or lots of different ways to communicate, and reading is one of them, and emails are another, as you probably know since you're in marketing, and there's radio, TV, and books, and as well as right now just talking. So tell me some of the more interesting questions of the year. Let's get into the juicy part.
I love case studies. It's one of my favorite things. And if anybody actually listening to this program has any case studies that they could send to me, and if they are members of the International Feng Shui Guild, we would love to put them into the newsletter. Some of our questions range from how to deal with allergies, what significance do certain animals have that come into their lives, and things of that nature. And sometimes I answer the questions. Sometimes the education committee answers the questions. It's very, very interesting. But what I especially love are case studies, because as you know, being a feng shui consultant yourself, Emmy, it's very, very difficult to prove certain benefits of feng shui unless people have actually experienced them themselves. And so I just love stories where people can make an impact on other people's lives and share that information with the world, because without scientific study and proof, some people might not be able to grasp the notion of how feng shui can really make a true benefit in their lives.
Have you noticed some of the things you field questions, and how long have you been the marketing?
I've been on the marketing committee probably 4 years now.
So how have things changed? Even just as simple as the questions, how have questions changed from the time you started to now, or even every year? Do you notice any trends?
Well, I notice I'm getting more questions from out of the country, from Mexico and what appears to be India, than actually questions from the United States. And that's one difference that I've noticed. That has been very interesting to me. And there are countries where people have a firmer grasp, and it's more a feng shui as part of their daily lives.
Yes. So what I think you're saying is that when people notice certain things, but maybe we can't seem to get a handle of what it is, and we kind of make some maybe assumptions, or we kind of guess like, well, yeah, why is that? Or do you wonder why? Or have anybody ever discussed that with you? Like, why is it? Is it Mexico, or does it matter, or is it because people are having their first chakra needs met, and they're able to kind of work on their spiritual part or anything like that?
Well, that's a very interesting question.
I'm sorry, I didn't prepare you for that. But
well, we're never prepared for anything.
But maybe we don't have to get into it. But I'm sure you notice certain things and you kind of ponder them, right? Because you see a bigger picture than many of us that are in our area or in our own areas that work maybe in a certain 12 or to 25-mile radius, and you're seeing the entire world and their questions about feng shui.
Right, and as a matter of fact, that's very interesting because this year I've kind of stepped back. We have a new board of directors that is fantastic at the International Feng Shui Guild. I'm so looking forward to seeing what they do in the upcoming year. What I've been doing, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a little while, but what I've been doing is kind of stepping back and getting back to the grassroots and my own area, my own county, my own town. And the Feng Shui Guild used an interesting Chinese proverb this on the back of their business cards, which is when there is peace in the home, there is peace in the country. When there is peace in the country, there is peace in the world. And we really have to take, I've been looking at things from such a macro perspective over the past couple of years, and I'm going back to a micro perspective and trying to reach people in my own community and work at one, you know, making the world a better place one home at a time. I've founded the New Jersey Shore chapter of the Feng Shui Guild here, and it's a great group of people. Comprised of Mary Jane Kazliner, Jean Kennedy, Laura Brunetti, Laura Hott, Joanne Bitcap, and Lucy Cordelius. And we've been doing community service projects. One we're doing right now is the Madonna House in Neptune, New Jersey. And we live in a very, very Irish Catholic community. And some people are actually a little afraid of feng shui. They're not really sure what it is. You know, is it... You know, Buddhism, it's a little spiritual, the words are a little scary, feng shui, they're foreign, people don't really know, and, you know, it's been very interesting to see how we can reach people in this community and get them to empower them to have a better life, you know, help them reach the tipping point that'll help them do whatever they need to do, whether it's, you know, leave an abusive husband or get out there and, you know, present themselves to the world, you know, whatever their dream is. So we've been working with this woman at the Madonna House, Rebecca Blonsky, and she has been donating her entire life to charity and giving things away. And her husband had a very good job as an engineer, but he lost his job, and he was funding the entire program for many years. So they've recently opened a thrift shop, and we're over there trying to help them bring in business and, you know, have more curb appeal and trying to energize the place in such a way to bring her the resources that she needs. To keep the place going, because by helping her, we reach, you know, thousands of people that need her help. And if anybody would care to donate to that program, it's the Madonna House in Neptune, New Jersey. Who's listening? And she can really seriously use funds right now.
Actually, you are a graduate of the school in Florida, right?
Oh, the Feng Shui Alliance in Edgewater, New Jersey. Teresa Polanco's school.
Oh, you're... Okay.
And it's an integrative feng shui school, which is terrific because as an integrative... Teresa had set up a wonderful program where you learn every type of feng shui. You're not... It's not an exclusive thing. So we've learned a little compass. We've learned a little flying...
Do you get into redesign?
Yeah. I thought I
saw something where... Who am I thinking of?
Oh, yes, that's the school, Graceful Lifestyles in
Can
Florida.
Can you tell me a little about redesign? And because there seems to be some connection with redesign and feng shui that fills something that is really needed spiritually and materially in this country.
Yes, I so agree with that, and especially the Graceful Lifestyle program, because it actually melds the two together in its programs. It's feng shui for interior designers, or it's interior design for feng shui practitioners. It works with the two aspects, bringing redesign to people and using feng shui. And some people might not even know you're using feng shui, so they reap the benefits, but you don't necessarily call yourself a feng shui practitioner. You can. You can call yourself an feng shui interior design consultant.
But isn't redesign using things that you already have?
Yeah.
And is that what the basic premise is?
It is. And it shifts the energy. It just takes things and just moves them around a little bit just to get the energy moving in the home, which is terrific.
Now, is that kind of program or redesign as a whole in response to the economic forces, or is it in response to green design or environmental conditions where we need to make better use of our resources? Where does it come from?
I really don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
It does also include aspects of green design. We learned about different fabric choices and different paint choices and things that we could use to help make a healthier environment, with low VOCs or volatile organic compounds. And what I love about that and adding that to the feng shui when you go to a client's home is a client can easily grasp. They might not be so into going green or a healthy environment. They might not be that into it. They might just want to, get their house painted, and they don't really care about all that. But by presenting them with beautiful color options that are non-toxic and low VOCs that are just readily available by Benjamin Moore and everyone else, out there, it empowers them to make a healthier choice for, at a very, very low cost, and it also inspires them to make healthier choices for their families, especially if they have allergies and things of that nature. So I think it works as a response to health, but I think it might more be an economic response, because feng shui is kind of it's a hard sell. I mean, let's just put it out there. It's very difficult for people to grasp, especially because with feng shui, we don't want to over feng shui, so less is more. And if you do less for, whatever you charge, it can be a difficult
mm-hmm.
sell.
Yeah. So tell me about your work with the Conscious Design Expo and the UN group.
Oh, with the United Nations group. I joined. I'm less involved with that than I would like to be.
Well, it sounds very interesting, though. So tell me about it.
Oh, it's terrific. Susana Bastarica, who works at the United Nations and was the former international director for the Feng Shui Guild, got me involved in the program, United Nations Feng Shui Recreation Council, I think it's called.
Uh-huh.
And they give wonderful, wonderful programs at the United Nations, one a month. They're very, very reasonably priced. I think they're only about $10 to get in. And they have some wonderful speakers, including Grandmaster Lin Yan, who brought three-door feng shui and Tibetan Buddhist feng shui to this country. So you can hear very empowering lecture series through them. And they also are instrumental in holding the United Nations Peace Vigil in Central Park in September of every year.
So what is that group called? UN?
United Nations Feng Shui. There's a branch, United Nations Feng Shui Recreation Council, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really It's really terrific.
So why is it called Recreation Council? Recreation, or do you folks get together and go to the park or something?
Well, I think it's an after work hours
okay.
kind of thing.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, and I don't get up there as much as I do as I'd like to, but I joined to support the group. You know, just made a donation to join to support the group because I think what they're doing is wonderful, and they look at things from a very macro perspective.
Yes,
and they are working on peace in the world. That is their mission.
Yes. So we're here with Sharon Sodal, and she works on the Grapevine, which is a newsletter for the International Feng Shui Guild. I am Emmy Louie, and we will be back. Welcome back. I am here with Sharon Sodal, and she works on the Grapevine newsletter for the International Feng Shui Guild, amongst many things, including doing the marketing for the International Feng Shui Guild. I am Emmy Louie. And tell me about the guild, the board of directors, Sharon. Tell me about that. What's going on with that?
Well, we're really, really excited. What's new in the Feng Shui world for this year with the International Feng Shui Guild is that in October, we have a new board of directors. And under the leadership of returning members, Rosalie Prinzivalli, who is the chairman, the board chair, and the treasurer, and Lori Bornstein, who's returning. She was the education director before, but now she has also taken on the responsibility of CEO and president, which is terrific. And under their leadership, I expect really great things to happen. The other people that are returning are Deborah Durmar Lamb, the membership director, Karen Ferraro, who was the marketing director but is now the technology director, and we have new secretary Liz Brown and new marketing director Lori Policki and a new member marketing director Susan Merkner, who is going to be taking the responsibility of promoting members and getting members and their voices heard throughout the community. And returning new general members are David Twicken and Vera Bridges. So it's going to be a wonderful couple of years ahead under their leadership and mm-hmm. guidance.
Well, good for you. I know that when we talked at the bar at the Conscious Design Expo, we talked about a lot of things, and your husband is actually a very very different character from yourself. Can you tell me about your husband? It seems like behind every successful woman there's always a very supportive partner. Tell me.
Oh, he is just great. John Russell is his name, and he is just terrific. He is, I think he's such a feng shui man, but he doesn't think so. He always says, oh, you've got all the power, and I keep trying to tell him that everyone has the power within them, everyone, and, someday he'll come to that realization. But right now he's just with me all of the way and very, very interested. He's read every feng shui book in our library. He comes with me to all the feng shui events, and so he's absorbed a lot, and he's a very quiet, he's a thinker, I'm the talker.
He's a reporter, right? He's a writer.
Yes. He was a long time columnist for the New York Post.
Well, when I was talking with you, we were jabbering. We were just going 60 miles an hour, and he was just very quiet. And
that's right.
I thought, is he logging down what we're talking about?
Yes, he listens. He absorbs what everyone else says, which is really wonderful. So he's a very deep spiritual man, and he's a wonderful person. So I'm very, very lucky to have.
So yeah, you lucked out. I was thinking about that.
I know, I really did. And I met him in a bar too.
Oh, you did. Good for you. So you like to hang out at bars?
I guess so.
Yeah, I know, because I know we're going to have just a conversation today, and I thought it was a neat thing to do just to have a regular conversation over the phone and have people listen. Some people say that, I know this, my friend who worked at a bar for 20 years, she was a bartender, she said she likes the conversation of being at a bar, like the whole atmosphere of a bar, not necessarily the drinking.
I know. It really is. It's I don't know.
There are people that go to bars. I'm not actually a bar person, but there are people that like the bars. What's going on with that?
Well, I think there's a lot of noise and hubbub around, and it's a place where people can just go and socialize and don't necessarily have to be quiet about it. I mean,
so it's an outdoor living room.
Yes, it's nice. I mean, at tables in a restaurant, people are all separated from each other.
Yes.
It's difficult to start a conversation with somebody at the next table.
Well, from a feng shui standpoint, also, when you're standing up and you're, it's different from a living room, because a living room, generally, people are sitting down, so it's harder to change places. Now, if you didn't want to talk to somebody, you just kind of shift over and move over somewhere.
Exactly, or even twist your body just a slight turn.
Yeah, it's a different establishment when it comes to bars. And then there's also usually TVs going on.
That's true. It's very, very active.
So what has been on your mind other than feng shui? Because I've noticed certain things. I saw this one show, I think it was the Wii channel. Is it called Wii? W-E?
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing New Age jokes. And I thought, wow, this is just regular TV, New Age jokes. And you said earlier that feng shui is a hard sell. And I thought, wow, it seems like it's all around. I guess if you're in a certain situation and if you have a blue car, everything seems to see a blue car everywhere. So I see all this kind of metaphysical, all the spiritual stuff really all around.
And oh, it is. It's cropping up. It's cropping
all
up
over.
Everywhere.
And I saw even regular mainstream like Sex and the City, I saw the woman was making and she was making a mention about she was doing some feng shui on her house. And I don't think it was like that 10 years ago.
No, I don't think so either. And as a matter of fact, you know, now there's like a yoga studio on every corner along with a pizzeria and a Chinese restaurant. It's just, it's amazing how quickly the yoga community has taken hold. And that's bringing everyone, you know, to their spiritual centers and just creating a stillness. People are yearning the stillness and the centeredness.
And even massage therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Before, back in the 60s, people would think as massages, oh, a Thai massage, and it's kind of seedy or something like that. At least that's what I thought when I grew up. And now, when you look at massage, it's not a massage parlor. It's a massage clinic. So to see all of these things that are very feminine in nature, when I say feminine, where they involve spiritual, mind, body, spirit integration, they've changed in the way their people have perceived them.
Yes, I agree with that. It's just it's so nice to see that the transition, everything moving inward, and people are starting to really move inward and get in touch with it, and to realize that, you know, spirituality is really different from religion. It's a separate thing. It's the inward part, not the outward expression.
And even like what is that well-known psychic? He talks to people on the other side and everything.
Oh, John Edwards?
Yeah, John Edwards with no S.
Oh, with no S.
I think so, because the other one is the presidential candidate.
That's right. Wouldn't it be great to have a presidential candidate that speaks to people on the other side?
Yeah, you never know. How about Kucinich? He's kind of close. I didn't see that 10 years ago, and people are just doing outright readings in broad daylight.
Yes, I love all of those. I watch them all. And
this is what I saw the other night. I saw it was about Larry King. I saw on Larry King, they were talking about ghosts, and they had Shirley MacLaine on the show.
Oh.
And I thought, my God, the last time I heard about her was about 20 years ago. Because when you think about New Age, at least from 20 years ago,
New Age
is
old.
yeah, and you thought, oh, Shirley MacLaine, and she actually explained it right on. They had someone that was kind of unity oriented, and they talked about the essence, and I guess seems like a new term. I didn't hear about essences about 2 years ago, and now essence. Have you heard of that recently? Essence?
No, I haven't heard of that at all. What is that?
You know, I don't know. It has to do, because energy, that word is being thrown around all over, like the energy of this, energy of that, or intention, and now it's essence. At least that's what I've noticed.
Oh, that's interesting.
There's just certain terminology that, or power of intention that's been thrown around for the last few years, and now, but Shirley MacLaine was right on top of everything as far as talking about past lives and all that, and explaining it to Larry King. So that was really...
I would have loved to have seen that, so...
Yeah, actually that was short, because, see, and especially now that I've interviewed, this is what, my 60th show, and I've noticed something about interviewing people, even when I watch, like, Oprah Winfrey, I watch Tyra Banks, and I watch, like, who's that, lesbian hostess? Ellen DeGeneres?
Oh, yes.
I hope she's lesbian.
She is. She
okay.
says so.
I don't want to defame her, but...
so it's okay.
Yeah. And I've noticed that people, as talk show hosts, and I know that Ellen DeGeneres kind of broke down about some kind of animal issue about a month or two ago, and I've noticed that even how people get involved in the conversation of what they're talking about, and I guess I lost my train of thought. What was I thinking? What did I say right before?
Oh, about Larry King and how...
Yes, Larry King. Usually when I see Larry King, he's very objective. I think he's very objective. He doesn't get into the issue. But when he was talking about these past lives, he was talking to these intuitives. He said, well, if I were you, I would kill myself. He said that. I was like, where did that come from? He was saying that if he saw the things that these intuitives see, they see, like ghosts and all this stuff, he would go crazy. So already knew that he was not an intuitive based on what he was saying. So he got really into it, which I've never usually seen him get so emotionally, because he knew that he was almost a skeptic.
Oh, that's...
Usually he would not... Usually when you interview someone, you would know... Like, you try not to reveal what your point of view is, but he said right off that he kind of didn't believe in, or almost like, this is kind of crazy stuff. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And you know what else? You know what else has been interesting? I've been seeing on the Discovery Channel, The Universe is Weirder Than We Think. I don't know if you saw that documentary. And it's physicists that are now grappling with string theory in physics versus... and how string theory actually can create, by using string theory, we can influence our lives in the future by intention, because we can vibrate those strings and create whatever we want out of them, since all matter is made of little vibrating strings. So what's wonderful is science is actually catching up with feng shui. And I think that's the most fascinating thing that's going on right now, especially in the scientific community.
I know. I know we're kind of sounding like we're kind of dabbling in all these things, but they are intriguing, even though we're not experts on it, but we're observing all these things. Some of the things also about, like, it's been scientifically proven that when you set an intention, it only takes about a matter of seconds for all of the atoms to come together to make that intention come true.
Oh.
And within 60 seconds. So all of these things are scientifically proven. And then I'm Googling like teletransportation, and that it was in one of these universities where an atom was able to be teletransported So it's all of these amazing kind of spiritual things of just manifestation that things are really happening. I had a thought actually today, and this ties back into all the things that we're talking about in regards to respecting the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really been on my mind a lot.
Mine too.
I don't know if it's an epiphany, but I was thinking about this, was that I was just looking at the mineral makeup that I market for a company. I market mineral makeup, and I was thinking, you know, this mineral makeup is from the earth. They're minerals, right?
Right.
And if you look at all of these things that we have around us, they're from the earth. They have to be from the earth. I'm looking at a piece of tissue that comes from paper, comes from trees, all of these things, or any of the, and all of these things, like plastic, it comes from refining petroleum, and you're creating all of these things. And I was thinking, up until now, we haven't been able to really, and this actually ties into what you're talking about, micro and macro, is think about it. If we want a chicken to lay a good egg, shouldn't we treat the chicken really well?
Absolutely. I think that's the basic.
And then I came to my thought, my God, that chicken is the earth. Up until now, we just thought, oh, we can just like cut all the granite we want for our kitchens. You know, we can just do all these things. You know, we could. And then I was thinking, wow, have we ever thought about that we got to treat this huge thing that we're sitting on like a chicken? If we don't treat it right, it's not going to produce for us. And it's going to be even worse than not producing for us.
Right.
And we've got to realize that this is a major thing. And one of the things that I even saw on TV was that children right now, besides worrying about terrorism, children worry about the environment. And that's going to be the foremost, that's going to be the issue for the next 20, 30 years.
Well, that's wonderful, because if children are worrying about that now, they'll carry the torch going forward.
Yeah, and then there's probably going to be something else that's going to come up.
Well, everything goes in cycles, as we know. So you have your up cycle and your down cycle. And then
my husband was saying, mm-hmm. Well, what would happen if we didn't, the humans weren't here on Earth? That was a paradigm shift.
Oh.
That was a paradigm shift. I want to ask you that. What would happen if humans weren't here on Earth?
Isn't that's that a loaded question. That would be a fascinating.
What's the thing that comes up to you? Because I had an immediate answer. What would be your answer?
Well, I immediately thought of the dinosaur age. And I thought about, you know, just the basic laws of survival, which are, I would like it to be different from this, but, you know, eat or be eaten. you know, just the way animals in nature behave.
So the natural cycle of things would reign.
Right, birth and death and sustenance and...
It puts things in perspective. What I thought was that, wow, we probably wouldn't have pollution in the form that we know it.
No.
No or yes?
No, we wouldn't have pollution.
Yes, yeah, I agree, no. and he said also that we wouldn't have a whole bunch of domesticated things, because a lot of things that are domesticated are based on human activity. But I thought the pollution was a big obvious thing.
Yeah, pollution is an obvious thing.
But, I mean, the very obvious is just to take it out from, look at it, flip the whole situation around and say, well, what happens if we weren't around?
There would likely be a much healthier atmosphere.
Yeah, and so looking at, I guess what I'm saying is I'm posing all these different paradigm shifts of how we see things and how we view it, and to me that's what repentance is called. Repentance is when we have a different view, and that is mind-blowing when that happens. It happens, and your mind thinks, wow, yeah. So anyway, so we're here with Sharon Soto, is that correct?
Yes. Thank you.
And I am Emmy Liu, and we're having just a conversation about what's going on in our minds for the last year. So we'll be back. Welcome back. I am Emmy Liu, and my website is www.emyloue. And Sharon Soto works on the marketing for the International Feng Shui Guild. And we're just having a conversation today, and we're talking about things that are on our minds and the things that we see and how things have changed so much, even in the last year. Just the things that are happening. Did you see that show by the CNN Planet in Peril, Sharon?
No, actually, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't see that?
No.
Did you see Live Earth?
No.
You didn't see Live Earth? Okay. Where have you been?
I've been living it, Emmy.
Oh, you've been living. That's even better. Tell me about that.
Well, I like to do a lot of space clearing, and I work with a lot of theopathic energies.
Yes.
So I work with clearing energies that can affect people in their homes or spaces. So I work with, you know, underground water or electromagnetic radiation and things of that nature, and helping to make sure that our living planet isn't affecting, because as we know, it's a wonderful thing that sustains us, but in certain areas of our living planet can also be harmful to us if we're not careful, if we get too much exposure.
Do you work with vortexes?
You know, I have run into one or two of them. Actually, there's one at the Madonna House that I spoke to about earlier. Mary Jane Kasliner is going to do a clearing on that on Monday. Why do you ask?
No, I'm just asking.
Oh.
Just wondering. Yes. I mean, I run into
positive energy fields one home. I've run into negative energy fields, underground streams, electromagnetic radiation, our man-made stuff like junction boxes, things like that. All of that can have an impact, whether it's man-made or just natural from the
Actually,
Earth.
Let's talk about how different people react to certain things.
Oh, that's great.
Let's talk about that, because I have a magnet pillow, and I totally feel how the magnets are working on my brain.
In a positive or negative way?
In a positive way. I have a magnet pillow.
Oh, very interesting.
And people feel different things. Let's talk about that. How can people tune into that, tap into that, and it just goes back to that interview at Larry King about being an intuitive and being psychic, is that we all have certain gifts. Actually, we all have the same gifts. Is just what muscle do we want to exercise? What is it that we want to focus on?
True, and even if we don't have those gifts, We have other things around us that can be signals for us that there might be some things that could be amiss. For example, underground water often you can tell where it is, if even without being intuitive or using dowsing, by looking for trunks of trees that split near the base. So your average person that's not intuitive would be able to see, oh, you know, there's a body of water under there. Whether it affects you positive or negatively would require a little bit more research, for example, using dowsing.
That's a good point. Let's talk about things that don't require being intuitive or not. And to me, I think it's obvious, but sometimes that's how life is, right? One person might think it's totally obvious, and then another person totally missed the boat, right?
Exactly. I love to reach people that might miss the boat.
Yeah, and maybe that's why we're talking about things that we're observing, because some people may not even be open to that for whatever reason. And one example is that I always know where north is because that's where the moss grows. And I don't know if people think about those things anymore. Do people think about those things? Like, I know where, because it's just the damper side, you just look at a tree. And the tree on all four sides in a temperate environment does not look the same. The tree trunk, one side is damper, and the other side is sunny.
Well, you know, Emmy, I think people don't need to know, or they feel that they don't need to know. People are used to being given information all the time, but they're not given all the information on everything. So, you know, it's kind of nice to be empowered and to start noticing things in your environment.
Okay, yes. Okay, this is the thing about noticing things or being aware of things in our environment, is that there are some people, okay, let's just say they don't really care. Okay, let's just say they just want to live in a box, they want to work on their computer, and they don't care.
And they feel that what they don't know won't hurt them.
Okay, that's fine.
Or what they can't.
However, there are people that want to know. They want to know why. And when people are wanting to know, there needs to be an atmosphere of that search.
Yes, to have support.
Okay, so those are the people that I want to reach, is those people that say, well, I'm curious, and then somehow they're not in an environment where they can expand. And so that's changing too, because they can expand if they want to. It's kind of like if you lived in a place where you just didn't see a park a lot, so you don't have that chance to experience a park.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just an environment.
Yes, I like a couple of examples of finding positive and negative energy in your home. Just using the intuition of, you know, our domestic pets, for example. Like a dog will always sleep in a positive energy zone, and a cat will always sleep in a negative energy zone because they transmute energy. So you don't really want to be sleeping where the cat sleeps. For example, and it was very interesting with what happened in Sri Lanka. I don't know if you heard about this, Emmy.
No.
I've heard reports that all the animals got away. And there were no real animal fatalities except for domestic animals who may have lost some of their intuition. But animals got away long before the tsunamis hit, because they're in tune. They were in tune.
Well, see, isn't that what we just talked about? I said earlier that what would happen if there were no humans on the earth and that there wouldn't be that domestication.
Yes, yes.
And then the domestication. And maybe that's why I don't have pets. I'm sorry, pet lovers. I had a cat for maybe half a year. And maybe she didn't like me and she ran away, or he ran away. But
well, then that's because you have such positive energy. Cats don't like it.
I mean, this whole domestication thing, it makes me wonder.
Well, we've removed ourselves from the earth. We've sort of created a barrier between ourselves and the earth. I don't know why we don't want to know or... I don't know how it transpired or whatever. I mean, we don't like to see, you know, our meat when it's living, or our chickens with the heads on, you know, when we eat our dinner, at least in the United States. And
well, that's a good point. Let me tell you about this. Now, I am of Chinese ethnicity, and when I go to a Chinese market, all the fishes are together, all the heads are together. And, of course, when I go to places like a supermarket, American supermarket chain, that there's no heads. And it's usually big fillets. And so the sanitation, things are sanitized.
Well,
literally and figuratively sanitized.
Well, you know what's funny? Is they're really not. I mean, people think they're sanitized. They look more sanitized. It's like what goes on with salmon, for example. The salmon looks beautiful and pink and a big fleshy piece of fish, and then you read the small print and it's been injected with dye, red dye.
I know. Isn't that the irony?
Or,
I was just about to say that when you said that. It says natural coloring. Why would you need to put natural coloring on fish?
And then it's all wrapped in plastic. And when things are wrapped in plastic over a long period of time, the plastic leaches into the food. It's not like the old days at the butcher where they used to just cut it up and put it, wrap it in like wax paper. And
you know, that's what we need to do, wrap it back in wax paper. That's for sure.
Yes, yes.
I don't know how we even moved away from wax paper.
I don't either.
Where did that happen?
It's all marketing.
I can't figure that one out.
I know. It's crazy. And so we remove ourselves, and we remove ourselves from, you know, we're so used to just being able to go to the store to get something. We're so removed from the from our resources. I mean, from our sustenance and from where the origins of what sustains us. And that's why we don't notice anymore which way is north on a tree. We don't have to because
Let's take a break. Let's take a 1 minute break because I have someone at my door. Hold on 1 second. We'll be back.
Thank you.
I'm Emmy Louie, and we're back with Sharon Sodal. So we're talking about just observations that we notice. Yes, we need to go back to wax paper for when we wrap meat. There's no doubt about it. The butcher is the way we need to return to how we purchase meat, period.
Yes, I actually have neighbors that are still... It's become a very gentrified area, but it was a very rural area near the sea off the coast of New Jersey. And I actually have a neighbor who said, hey, do you want to split a cow?
You want to what a cow?
Split a cow.
Yeah.
You know, purchase a cow and someone raises it for you and feeds it, you know, grains and, you know, gives it care and... The thing, and even to me, knowing what I know, it's still so ingrained in me. It's very difficult. It's very difficult for me to. It's more difficult for me to purchase it that way when I know, deep down in my heart, that's exactly what happens. But it sort of anesthetizes you when you go to the supermarket and you just buy your piece of meat or a piece of fish, off of the rack.
I had an interesting story. It has to do with boiling lobsters. And and so we were talking about how to boil lobsters, and what you do is you boil the water and then you throw the lobster in. As simple as that, right? And then I said, well, why don't we put the lobster in first and then turn up the heat slowly? And the person said, that's cruel. And I thought to myself,
it's actually the other way around. You're absolutely right.
What is that?
If you put the water on slowly, it will just raise slowly.
Well, I know for a frog, supposedly the story is the frog wouldn't notice and it would die because of the heat. But
exactly.
But the brain of a lobster is very minuscule, and just to think that even that they have feelings. It's just thinking that they would have feelings. It just opens up a whole realm that, this is something that has life.
Right, and I think it comes down to, you know, it's funny, that scenario almost had what caused a breakup between my brother and my sister-in-law, because she's a vegetarian, and he was cooking a lobster, and she walked in when he did it, and she screamed and ran out of the house. I think it caused a two-week breakup.
it was a breakup? I'm sorry?
Yeah, I think it caused a two-week breakup. She just flipped out because of he was killing a lobster. But they've since come had compromises and are happily married.
I would agree with you generally, because if we all had to slaughter what we ate, we'd probably be more vegetarian.
Yeah, I agree with that.
In other words, if our society was set up differently, we would naturally move towards certain practices because they just sit better with our conscience.
Well, also because...
A lot of things. I'm not just talking about... That's just obvious because of the things that we do. A lot of things, like what you said about redesign, about feng shui, just a lot of different things. If we had to mine the coal and then put the gas in from the petroleum, if we had to mine it, you think we would drive our cars?
I know.
If we had to mine the stuff that we use, I don't think we would want to do half the things.
No,
because we would find that it would be horrible for whatever different reasons, similar to the slaughtering. So I'm just trying to use some analogies that we can understand.
Yes, the wonderful thing about what you're saying is there would be no waste, because we would make sure that we used everything, because we wouldn't want to slaughter indiscriminately. Now, the supermarkets, when they're slaughtering and piling everything up there and we're buying it, you know, thinking... You know, separating ourselves from the means of sustenance.
We're running out of time, Sharon. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, not a problem.
Yeah.
So we can wrap up, but there's a lot more waste because they're just guessing how many people are going to buy the goods.
Yes, and so what we're talking about is just things that we're observing, and that just consciously, maybe going back to what we're saying about the whatever we're thinking, is to really manifest that through our intentions and having that change of mind through our own observations. And so what we have to do is really open up our eyes and our senses and really observe those things and then make changes if based on how we feel about it in our heart. That's what it comes down to.
That's what it comes down to, and feeling very comfortable and becoming aware of everything we do and say.
Yeah, and that's just part of it. Feng Shui is just one part of that whole package of being aware of all these things. It's either one part or it encloses all of these things. So thank you very much for the conversation, Sharon.
Thank you, Emmy.
I am Emmy Louie, and thank you for listening, audience, and namaste.